Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And today we have with us Michelle. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Well, I'm excited because you're actually working at the Lyme clinic that Tanya was treated at and where you were treated at as well.
Yes, I am. I'm the patient care coordinator.
That is so awesome. So we're going to get the big scoop about all the cool things and what goes on there. And yeah, and you'll know in detail, obviously, what took place with you there.
Oh, yes. I think everybody has a different journey, though, I have to say. It's been interesting. Every Lyme patient I talk to, it's a different story. They're at a different place or they're at a different, you know, modality of where they're affected. So,
right. It's definitely everybody has we have a lot of the same symptoms, but it's a different journey for everyone. I just remember that I did a lot of things at the clinic. And a lot of things I couldn't remember what it was. And unfortunately, I lost my home in a fire several years ago. And so I lost all of my binders and binders of paperwork. So I never really could ever explain to anybody what I really did.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of nice to chat with you because I'm sure some of the things we did the same. So.
Well, I think it is, you know, it depending on co-infections too. It's so interesting. Lyme patients come to find out they have environmental molds or heavy metals. I mean, it's just, or they have more different types of Lyme disease. It's not just one. I always just thought there was one Lyme disease and I didn't realize there were so many different types.
Yeah, there are lots of different strains of Borrelia in addition to then obviously all the co-infections that come along and then all the other stressors that you got to look at, like you're mentioning, you know, the mold, heavy metals, chemicals, you know, sensitivities, emotional trauma,
yeah,
all of these things. So tell me before, because I love to kind of pick your brain as to all the things that are going on there, but I'd love to hear your journey as well. And because I'm sure that is what brought you to where you're at now at you know,
correct,
working over there. So how did it all, you know, was it kind of you started feeling something and then they figured out it was Lyme immediately and then you got treated? Yeah.
Well, it all started out kind of like yourself. One day I woke up, I couldn't see and I couldn't move. So I was rushed to the hospital in 2007 and I was diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis. I had lesions in my head, you know, the typical. And then I get another diagnosis of fibromyalgia, adrenal fatigue, Hashimoto's, lupus. I mean, the list just, hemochromatosis, the list just kept going on and on and on. And I had heard on my journey, one of the first things I did was started taking some supplements. You know, I had to quit my executive job. In 2013, I blew a blood clot in my stomach and I spent 9 months in the ICU, 6 months in the nursing home and 5 years of home health. And I stopped my MS medicine over 10 years ago because I ended up getting an eating amoeba. And I'm like, I don't believe in this stuff because I started doing other holistic things that were getting me healthy, like Protandim, NRF2. And customized DNA vitamins. And I started feeling good. And I also went and had a full body stem cell transplant done in the Dominican Republic. After spending all that time in the hospital, you're like, okay, there was part of me, this last diagnosis was lupus, where doctors could not figure out, you know, I have no idea why your ferritin levels are 900 and over 1,000. I was tired all the time. And I was like, one of my friends goes, you got to go see Dr. Fong. You might have Lyme's. I go, yeah, I've heard about that years ago and never really didn't, you know, I've always played holistic and Western together. But finally, when I went to go see Dr. Fong and found out I had Lyme's disease and started getting treatment, I started feeling better. You know?
So how did you find out? I mean, so first you were taking, you had all these different diagnoses and then you start taking supplements then for those diagnoses. So how were you just kind of doing like, I have MS, so now I'm taking good supplements for that?
Yeah, I started feeling better with the supplements, that it was really affecting a lot of my DNA. I started having more energy. I started feeling good. And then all of a sudden I like dropped again. I got super sick. I was tired and that wasn't like me. This happened in 2019. I was just super sick all the time, tired. I was like, what the heck is going on? And that's when I found out I had lupus.
And that's when the ferritin levels were elevated.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And they're like, we don't know what to do with you. We have no idea because you don't have any sign or symptoms, but your blood markers have all the signs and symptoms. You have lupus, but you don't have this. You don't have that. And that's when my friend goes, you need to go see Dr. Fong. I go, okay, I'm signing up. So that's when I went to see Dr. Fong in 2021.
And so in
2022, sorry.
Okay. And so can you kind of walk us through what your symptoms were, how you were feeling?
I was having a hard time sleeping. I couldn't remember things. I had no energy whatsoever. I was just back to where I felt like I had MS really bad again.
Okay. And you had stopped the MS medication already at that time,
right?
Oh,
I stopped years ago.
Okay. And
I pretty much stopped all the medications I was on. I was doing all the holistic things that I had found that were working for me.
Okay. And so with that, when you stopped, and did they do an additional scan later on in between time? And what did they see there?
There's no active lesions whatsoever. Everything's been in remission for 6 years now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that alone. So, okay. So then you went to Dr. Fong and how did he say that? I mean, how did he find out that you had Lyme? I mean, what did
we did the Lyme test.
Okay. And what kind of test was that?
Hygienics lab test.
Oh, okay.
The specialized lab test.
Yeah.
And we did some heavy metals and we did the food sensitivities and, you know, I just found out more than anything that I had Lyme disease and he started treating me for that. You know, the first week I went through detox, the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth week, I went through the whole protocol of building up your immune system and basically getting shots to break down the Lyme's disease in my body and killing the spirochetes. Mm-hmm. And at nighttime, I'd get cold and hot and have a fever and didn't feel well, but the next day I started feeling better. So after the 6 weeks, I was like, I feel like myself. And I go to my doctors at Stanford. They're like, what are you doing? Your blood reports are better. Your ferritin level's down to 150. What have you been doing?
That's amazing.
Well, it's amazing when you actually treat for something that you really have.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of treating for things that you don't have.
Well, it wasn't, you know, in my whole journey, I spent a lot of time at the Mayo Clinic. I spent a lot of time at Stanford. I spent a lot of time at the Cleveland Clinic.
Okay. And just based on what they're saying.
Like, yeah. Based on all those diagnoses that I had before getting treated by Dr. Fong. Because I was determined there was an answer.
Well, good for you for not giving up. Yeah, because we do, as Lyme patients, we go through so much, so many different tests and scans and doctors that don't believe us or doctors that tell us, you know, you have MS when you really don't, or you're just depressed or you have anxiety or... So, yeah. So I bet you were really relieved to actually get a diagnosis, even though we didn't want to have the Lyme one, but it was probably a relief to you to know that you really did have something.
Well, that was the root of all of it.
Right.
Which is really interesting as you look back and after getting, you know, diagnosis after diagnosis after diagnosis, you're like, all they were trying to do, you know, I used to carry around a huge bag of pills. I was so overly medicated. I mean, pain pills and you name it. It was like, this is ridiculous. And it was so nice to finally get off of everything. I mean, I got off of everything over 7 years ago. Because I didn't want to be my, I always said, I'm not my diagnosis. There's something better out there for me. And that's why I did all the alternative treatments myself of having the stem cell transplants, cleaning out my carotid arteries for MS, doing, you know, finding DNA based on your DNA, you get all your vitamins made for you, finding that product and finding a Protandim, which is better than they have, web results that basically say, you know, Tecladera, which is MS drug, this vitamin itself with five different ingredients outweighs the Tecladera drug. I was like, wow, this is working.
So where did you go out to, clean out your carotid arteries? Because that's, or it's carotid veins, I would assume. Because it's, yes. So it's more kind of the drainage from the head. Yeah. And
I had that done in Mexico.
And we're at in Mexico, because that's
in Cabo, a clinic. In Cabo at a clinic.
Oh, okay.
And it's Dr. Zamboni's. He was the big guy that was behind the carotid arteries, cleaning that out.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge for, especially for the MS. That was a big deal, doing that. And but that helps for even if you don't have MS and you're dealing with a lot of the Lyme issues, you know, you have, especially Babesia tend to really kind of build up a blockage in the carotid vein. So that way you have that kind of a back pressure, so to say, in the head and build up of iron in the head that triggers inflammation.
Oh, yes. And one of the hugest things, more than anything, I was not going to be my diagnosis. I wasn't like any other MS patient. I kept looking for answers. I've always been that way. I've worked in the medical field for over 30 years in healthcare, and I was just always, nope, going to figure it out. There's always a solution.
So talking about this cleaning out the veins, because I've never heard that before. Yeah. So what types of symptoms would you have if you had, if you needed to have that done, or if you had issues with that?
Yeah. So a lot of us, I mean, MS obviously is one of them, but a lot of the neurological, you know, it can be a huge factor. And so actually you can do, you know, like when you do muscle testing, this was when I was studying a lot with Dr. Klinghart back in the early, when was this? A long time ago.
I was going to say, are you going to date yourself? Or?
Yeah, exactly. So you can actually just kind of muscle test along the carotid veins and then see if that goes, you know, if that muscle test, and you know, that would be something that'd be really beneficial.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's on any kind of neurological or brain, ALS, Parkinson's, MS, any of those would be fantastic, because if you can't drain, then you have, you create them very inflammatory. You have, the blood kind of pushes outside of the blood vessels, and you have then iron and heavy metals and things that start to build up in the brain, triggering inflammation.
And I had a lot of cognitive issues I was having. I couldn't remember what happened the day before. It was pretty bad.
So how, after you did that cleanup, how did you feel after? I'm curious.
I felt pretty good. I was feeling better.
Yeah.
You know, my brain was definitely became a lot clearer.
That's amazing. And so when I'm curious, what were all the things when you ran all the tests then with Dr. Fong? I mean, what were, obviously Lyme showed up, but what else showed up? Yeah. What else showed?
I had like a lot of food sensitivities, and I had some heavy metals.
Okay. Did you have any co-infections?
No, I didn't have any co-infection. Oh, I had black mold. Sorry. I did have.
Okay.
Like Stachybotrys.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, so with that, then what did the treatment look like? I mean, what was the kind of things that are saying that this is what we need to do? We need to do chelation. We need to do, you know, this thing to kind of kill off or.
We did definitely the hydrogen peroxide, the chelation, the ozone, all the different treatments, the arm shots, the butt shots, the Glaxo shots, which is the mitochondria shots.
So tell us about those, because I know a lot of people aren't really familiar with what they are.
Yeah, I'm not the expert at it. So it's like the mitochondria goes into your body. It's the good stuff that kills off the bad stuff.
Right. Okay. Right. So I know, like the first week, as I recall, was kind of like a detox week.
It's a detox.
So what did that look like? You got daily IVs.
A peroxide and a couple, I don't remember. I don't have my list in front of me. Sorry. We're at a satellite office right now. We had a water pipe break at our office, so I don't have all my notes in front of me. I could tell you exactly what IVs they did.
Okay. So I remember the week of detox, we did a lot of like vitamin C IV and magnesium. Okay. So that kind of gets you cleaned up and try to boost your immune system up a little bit to go through pure hell, as I call it.
Before hell week.
That much I remember. Never forget that part of it.
Yes. So you did the detox, and then you're telling about the butt shots. Are those the ones that are part of the beginning of hell week, or?
The second week is when the hell week starts.
Is it? Okay.
See, we all have the same terminology for this. That's how bad it is.
You know, but what was amazing, though, in the mornings, I always felt pretty good. It was like, yeah, you get a fever and you shake, you feel like you have a bad flu. But in the mornings, it was just like, especially at the end of the 6-week process, I started feeling human again.
Okay. I remember about halfway through, I was ready to quit. I never felt good in the morning. Mine must have been a much longer process than yours. But yeah, I still, because it took me a while to feel better. But I just remember it being, like you said, you go through that, we call it shake and bake, where you just literally for a couple, 3 hours, your temperature rises, you know, and everybody was different.
Yeah.
It could go to 102. A lot of times, as soon as mine hit 104, I would have to take something to get rid of it, because within about 3 minutes, it would be at 107. You just kind of learn to figure out how your body is going to respond to it, and you can get a hold of it that way.
And the pain's so bad too.
Right.
You know, it's like, those are the things that you remember. But more things that I remember, as I look back, it's like, there was far more, I think, the drug reactions I had with MS, like all the things that it put me through, because I felt like I had the flu all the time. This was 10 times easier.
So you had something to compare to with that.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of other kind of things in preparation, prior to. So you didn't come in there with not having to done a lot of detox, not having, like the carotid treatment. And all the supplements and all these things.
So the stem cells.
So you kind of stepped in there being in a little bit of a different place than a lot of other people, I would assume.
True. Yes, I did. And the reason why I came in, a lot of it was because of lupus diagnosis, and nobody could figure out how to get my ferritin levels down.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, these top hospitals had no clue whatsoever how to get my ferritin levels down, and they're like, well, you have no signs or symptoms, but your blood shows you have lupus. So take hydroxychloroquine, which was great during the pandemic. I never got COVID.
You lucked out there. only if you could have a parasite infection too, so you could take ivermectin as well.
Then you
would have scored.
Right.
But never got COVID. Everybody else did, but.
Yeah.
So I look at that as a blessing at that time.
Yeah, the ferritin level being that elevated, I mean, you should look then at a dysfunctional mitochondria. And then also liver, as you know, if it starts to kind of leak out, then the ferritin, but you know, usually dysfunctional mitochondria.
I was in liver failure.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So yeah, with the ferritin being that high, that shows that. So.
And it's hard when you're going to these amazing teaching hospitals and they could not give you answers. You just have to learn to live with it. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to live like this again.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what brought me to Sierra Integrative Medical Center.
Because it's really fascinating because they don't know how to do restorative and regenerative medicine. Yeah. So the only skills they have are to manage symptoms. And if the body goes to a place where you can't manage it anymore, but you actually have to then go into restorative medicine, they're lost.
Yeah. And it's very true. And in 2013, I blew a blood clot in my stomach. And so my body had gone through being 9 months in the ICU, having every infection you could possibly have. And 6 months in the nursing home and 5 years of home health, having to learn to walk again and do everything again. I was not going to go back there. I'd been there before of not having to walk and being told you're never going to get out of here. I'm like, I'll show you. Yeah. And I'm that patient that says, show. When I first got diagnosed, the MS doctor said I'd be in a wheelchair in 6 months. I said, hell no, I will never be in a wheelchair.
I love it.
Good for you. Yeah.
And it's funny now because I still see the neurologist just to, you know, double check. Shell, just keep doing what you're doing. You're my favorite patient.
Wow. That's good. You've been through a lot and I'm glad that it's sad that we do have to kind of take our health into our own hands sometimes and definitely be our own advocate. But yeah, like you could just still be dwindling away in a wheelchair if you would have listened to, you know, a lot of what those doctors said. So,
well, and it's not just that. It's like you can't give up. And that's what I find a lot of people with autoimmune diseases do. They give up. They don't look at anything out there. There's so much different. There's so many natural things. Your body can heal itself if it's given proper nutrition.
Yeah, if you settle into your disease and believe in the doctors that you are the disease, and you know, and you believe that the only that they are the experts, and if there would have been another solution, they would have known about it. You know, if you're in that attitude, then you do just dwindle away.
Yeah, and I was not going to be that person.
No.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's that spirit. And that's what I love. You know, it's, you know, that you don't give up, you push forward and you find solutions. And if solutions are not presented, then you look other places to find solutions.
Exactly. And fast forward today, I get to work for an amazing doctor, but I can talk to the Lyme patients because I've been in their shoes. When they say they've been diagnosed with this, they have cognitive problems, they have muscle weakness. I've had all those symptoms. I lived in chronic pain of 10 for quite a long time.
And so when did you start to go through kind of the process of your experience there? So you started, you felt horrible, you were doing, starting the kind of shake and bake, the hell week, you know, week two. And you kind of felt horrible, fever, and then, but the morning you felt better. So kind of,
yeah, like about the fourth week. Yeah.
And what were you experiencing? What were you feeling then?
I started feeling just lighter and I had more energy. It was like, I wasn't falling asleep. Every day I wanted to fall asleep at 2 o'clock.
Okay. And you did, I'm sure you did the blood ozone.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And that's like one of the most, I think that's a great thing to do when we're going through all that is the blood ozone.
Yeah, it is great. I know Dr. Carlfelt has, what is that machine that you recently got?
Yes, called RHP or EBU. Is when EBU. You know, you pull blood from one arm, it gets ozonated and oxygen goes back into the other arm and then it gets filtered at the same time. So you see all that sludge and things coming out, you know, which is just disgusting.
Yeah.
And there's some amazing new technology that are out there with lights and, you know, so many different things to make us healthier.
Yeah, we have that as well, where we use intravenous laser therapy, where you actually treat the blood as it's passing by, and you can use different types of light and laser to kill off pathogens and use photosensitizers and all these kind of things. So there's a lot of cool things coming out that's available.
Well, and I think it's the attitude of the patients is, you know, you have to keep, you know, one of the joys that I have more than anything. Okay. One of the joys I have more than anything is getting to know the patients and talking with them and telling them it's going to get better. I can tell here's a picture before and here's a picture after, and you can see their light and their face come back. And it's such a joy to see that.
That is awesome. And so by week, is it 6 weeks that treatment usually go? Okay. So tell me how you were doing after the treatment, week six. You know,
I was feeling great.
Okay.
I was back like, oh my God, I felt like 20 years younger.
That's awesome.
You know, and the week right after that, I got back into exercising again and skiing and playing tennis and everything that I do.
That's amazing. And have you had to kind of maintain in a certain way to still do some of those treatments, still eat in a certain way?
I definitely eat in a certain way. And, you know, there's times I'm like, I just need a little ozone or a vitamin C.
Ozone and vitamin C are your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's just, I am very, you know, I still take my DNA vitamins by Euphoria. That's changed my life. And I do a lot of, you know, self-meditation now. You know, I speak, you know, I do a lot of motivational speaking to try to work with patients to, you know, definitely, you know, you're not your disease.
Yeah. And I love Euphoria as well. We have that as well. Yeah. It's a great product that is in, you know, targeting your DNA, you know, and so that's fantastic. So, because you get to work with all the different patients that are coming there. Tell me a little bit about what you're experiencing, you know, different flavors of people dealing with Lyme, you know, what they looked like coming in and you know, what do you see?
I've seen people come in wheelchairs. I've seen with people on a cane or a walker. And I've seen people that can barely walk at all. You know, they walk, but they have a limp or they have drop foot. I've seen people, you know, just they're miserable. You can just see it in their face, the pain they're in. They're sick all the time. They have no energy. And it's like, it's so, you know, it's I wouldn't say it's breathtaking, but as I said, there's hope. There's so much hope. And these treatments are going to save your life. And I've told them stories about what I went through. And we have a bunch of Lyme people that have gone through our clinic and their testimonies are true. And people, you know, there's some people that come back that need to get a little retreated. Some people do, you know, they got exposed to something. But the biggest thing more than anything, I can tell you, the hardest is when you're making that phone calls to patients and, you know, you're trying to get them to come to the clinic and they're like, I've given up. There's nothing more I can do. I just signed up with UCLA to become, because Oregon has that law too, where you can just, what is it called? Where you're the right to die. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart. I go, there is hope for you. There is hope for you. And then I try to teach patients how to be their own advocate in doing, you know, crowdfunding and GoFundMes and do fundraisers, because I couldn't afford this all myself. It was my friends that did fundraisers for me and did a lot of GoFundMe campaigns. You know, I guess that goes back to my degree in marketing. I know how to get things done.
Right. Well, when there's a will, there's always a way. And, you know, that's... The sad part is that by the time we find a doctor that can treat us, we've already gone through so much money by going to so many different doctors and getting misdiagnosed that we do, we really do lose that hope when somebody says that you know, we can make you better. We're like, yeah, right, I've heard that before. And especially for, well, I think for the majority of the population, we don't think outside the box. We think, it's go true. To a doctor, get on a prescription pill, or, you know, do the normal things that we grew up believing was going to make us better. And so when, you know, I've told people this a million times, but the first time I met Dr. Carlfelt and he did muscle testing, I just thought he was a quack. I thought that this is just voodoo stuff. I don't know what it is. Here I found another doctor. I said, okay, I'm going to have to go back and see Dr. Fong in Reno. And I didn't want to have to travel so far. Well, sure enough, I discovered how amazing muscle testing is.
It works just like the machine we have, the EMF machine.
Is that same, the one where you hold
the things and it's the same thing as muscle testing.
And what is that called?
It's called the EMF machine.
EMF machine. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So the number of those types of devices that kind of read then your meridians, read organs, correct, you know, pathogens, have metals and all these kind of things. Yeah. And then you can kind of, usually they have like a frequency that you can send then to neutralize a lot of those. Yeah. So, yeah.
And the one that really got me more than anything was the black light, where we take a person's blood sample and we put it under a microscope and you put it on the big screen and you see the little spirochetes.
That is cool. Yeah, we have that, the dark field microscopy and light blood cell analysis. And that is really cool. And you get to, it was funny. I had a patient earlier today that has been dealing with Lyme and her, she's been doing some treatments and her red blood cells were just perfectly round and bouncy and separated nicely, no relo, where they all stick together and not a bunch of junk in between. And so it's such a cool experience when you get to see that, compared to how it used to be.
Oh, yeah. And I think the biggest thing, too, it's like you're not drinking enough water.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man. Okay. That's true. I'm not a water drinker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, I was so fascinated by the dark field at Dr. Fong's because I had never seen it before. And to actually look at all the cells up there, I actually saw a spirochete.
Oh, yeah.
Go right out of one of my cells. Like I watched it on the screen. It was the craziest thing. It was pretty gross thinking that was inside my body. But yeah, the dark field is pretty cool.
And I think that one of the hardest things that it is when the Lyme patients, when the Lyme is in their brain, that is the hardest. And just to get that out of their brain is, there's so many things you have to do.
Yeah. And with that, and the issue is, and if you deal with things like heavy metals, then that creates a very leaky blood-brain barrier.
Yeah.
So that allows a lot of these pathogens and to enter in, and the brain is not as protected as it would normally be.
Correct. But it's once you're in there and you can do a lot of brain mapping and to help reformat the brain, that's huge. It's really huge. The person can definitely, the brain can regrow itself.
Absolutely. Plenty of tools with that, and there are a lot of programs out there that can help with that. I know we offer a few of those, and I'm sure that you guys offer a number of those type of therapies as well.
Oh yeah, and I think it's everything from lymphatic massages to the proper nutrition, because people do not eat right whatsoever.
So I'm curious what kind of diet is usually communicated over at Dr. Fong's. What does he suggest?
The Mediterranean diet.
Yeah. It's a good clean, good fats and a good balanced diet. It's not that hard to do.
And it's also, we have a nutritionist on staff, so that's very helpful, especially when they find out about all their food allergies.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
when we can't eat our favorite foods anymore.
But
all in all, you know, my greatest thing that happened to me is I died when I went in 2013. I actually saw God and he sent me back, and my purpose was to help people heal and live longer. And now I'm in a job, I get to do that. I get to help people every day. That's incredible. You know, and the biggest thing, it's not a sales job. I come from my heart. It's like, it's your choice. And if you can see and talk to more people that are in this, that used to be in the same steps that you were in, and come out on the other side, you can be one of those, but it's your choice. And like you said, there's a will, there's a way to do anything.
But you have to, just like you're doing, you have to be willing to fight.
Yep.
The hard part is when you feel that you've been fighting for long and you just don't have any energy or chutzpah to fight anymore, then it is good to have people around you like yourself to kind of infuse and to find that fight in the person again.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it is. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we do the podcast is just, you know, not only just to spread awareness, but, and also to talk about how many, many, many ways there are to treat Lyme, because there are
so many different ways,
but just to give the listeners that, for them to know that it doesn't matter where you are, if you're in bed, if you're in a wheelchair, wherever you are, there is hope and you can get better, because you and I, Michelle, we're living proof that it's possible, you know. And Dr. Carl Felt and Dr. Fong, you know, they know all the ways to treat, and you know, they're the smart ones. They're the scientists.
We're the voices for it. I think the biggest part is you peel one layer after another layer after another layer until you get down to the core of really what your body went through.
Exactly.
And that's a lot. You know, we've all had trauma. I know that leads to disease. I can definitely tell you that. I lost a son when he was a stillborn baby, and I held on to that for years. And I think that caused, you know, part of my diseases in the beginning.
Absolutely. And we've talked a lot about trauma that we go through, because I didn't realize that trauma before I even got bit by a tick could have an effect on how my body reacted to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very true. And I got bitten by a tick, you know, living in the Bay Area out hiking. You know, who knew?
Bay Area of California, where supposedly ticks don't live.
Oh, yeah.
They don't exist there.
They don't exist in Marin.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they exist in Nevada too. And people like, it's a desert. There's no ticks. We have wood.
Yeah.
They're in Idaho. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
In Oregon. They love trees.
And
they love sand.
Yeah, exactly. They love everything. And Lyme in itself, I mean, the infectious ticks, it's not like they just stop by the border of a state. They do exist other places.
Oh, yeah.
They do move.
They don't have to pay $200 to pass go. They just go where they want.
They just go. Exactly. Yeah. So, so what are some of the things, I mean, with the people that you, are there other kind of nuggets that you continually have to communicate to people that come to the clinic, that you feel that this is something that I frequently tell these Lyme patients as these kind of nuggets, the encouragement, the words of wisdom that you've gone through that you feel is important for other listeners that are listening that have just been diagnosed?
You know, I think one of the biggest things, there's so many options out there. You have to find the right one for you. And you have to really believe you're going to get better. And you have to believe in yourself that you can go through this. And you need to be like, look in the mirror every day. You're going to look different. I tell people to take their picture every day. And from one day to the next, they go, yeah, that was a great thing to look. Every day I look different. And then I also, you know, teach them, you know, to love themselves again. You know, it's hard to do that in 6 weeks. I don't have a lot of counseling in me, but I try to be the positive nugget of you can get through this. You made a choice and you're here. And you're here to heal. You have a whole life ahead of you. Just met a young man over the Christmas time who came in and got treated with us. And he was on his last leg. He's like, Michelle, I trusted you because you told me your story and I see you and I can't believe it. And he came in barely walking in a wheelchair. And then he just left last week. And he's like, I have my life back thanks to you. And that is, you know, very rewarding when you hear. I mean, I'm not looking for anybody to say that, but it just makes you know that you're on the right path. Because when I can come back as, you know, my past life in healthcare, I was a hospital administrator. I sold pharmaceuticals. I sold EMR systems. I was an executive traveling around the United States, never home. I never took care of myself. But once I got sick, it was like, oh, this is like a vacation in some ways. I had to learn to slow down, which I hated. But now I have the perfect job where I'm helping people heal and live longer. And I'm living a purpose every day of what God wants me to do. And you don't get that in life very often.
No, I love that. Yeah, I love that. That is incredible.
That's amazing. And it is very... You know, I tell people just that my mission is just to help to educate and advocate for Lyme. And it's so challenging at times because they're not in the right headspace. They don't think they can get well. They want to give up. But man, when you see those people cross that finish line and get better, it's the most rewarding thing in the world. It really is.
It's like watching a cancer patient. I mean, I'm a cancer survivor. I was very lucky they caught it when I was diagnosed with stage one cancer and I didn't have to go through treatment. I just was on tamoxifen, but I worked with my whole in healthcare. I've worked a lot in the cancer community and just to see women go through what they went through and all the things and ring that bell with their last chemo and for them to get their life back. And I was really involved in an organization here in Reno called Breast Cancer to Bikini, where women would do a breast cancer contest and lift weights and get on stage and take their lives back, lose weight. And it was like, it's life-changing.
Yeah.
Life-changing for them. And it's a matter. We all have to work hard. This is not, it's not you as the doctor, it's the patient who has to work hard too.
Yeah, it's a whole commune. I mean, it's a team effort, and then also, you know, setting up the team around you, like you were talking about, like the GoFundMe accounts. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the financial team, but also then reaching out to the your family, friends, so they understand what's going on, because it's hard for them to recognize. And that's another question I have. So the people that come there, I mean, one of the issues that we talked about, it's hard for family and friends to recognize what Lyme is about.
I'm going to say any autoimmune disease, they don't get it. Your friends don't get it when you cancel. Your friends don't get it when you're said, I'm tired.
So how do you deal? How do you suggest that people deal with that?
Oh, it gets to a point where you learn who your real friends are. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just have to let go because you want a friend that's going to be supportive. And if they can't meet you halfway, then they're not your friend. And that's sad. I've had a lot of friends come and go because I have a really good core now. And you look back, those maybe weren't really friends back then.
Yeah, that's definitely true. They got to take you. If there's a saying, I don't know, if you can't take me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. Kind of, yeah. I think that's what it is. And it's true. And it's, you know, looking back on my journey, I was so fortunate that I had such an incredible support system with my friends and my family. And to watch people go through this journey alone,
oh, it's
truly heartbreaking. Yeah. But what they need to remember is that there is a huge Lyme community out there, yeah, of people that are going through what you're going through or have been through what you've been through. And so many of them are there for you to reach out to and get that support, yeah, that you need. You're definitely not in this fight alone, for sure.
Yeah. And people got to know that. And sometimes, though, the communities can give really bad information.
Yeah, there you always get the good with the bad, right?
Yeah.
But they are definitely amazing for that support, to know, yeah, that they're not alone, that they're not crazy, that they really do have something wrong with them.
Yeah.
And it's not just depression, it's not just anxiety. And they can get better, you know, if they're in the Lyme community.
If you believe you can get better, you will get better.
Absolutely. And if they're in the Lyme community, more than likely they've already finally got told that they have Lyme disease, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, wow. Well, I'm glad that you're where you are, doing what you kind of turned your life into a different perspective, you know, going through the journey that you've been through. So I'm sure it's an amazing to go to work every day, heartbreaking, mm-hmm, but rewarding at the same time.
Yes, it's both. You know, it's better than being out of the hospital. I'll tell you that for sure.
Right.
When you're in hospital administration, they want you to get the patient out. You're like, they're still sick. I didn't like that job.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. And it's just that when you are then offering something that is that actually works, and,
yeah,
and not just a Band-Aid, you know, therapy, you know, yeah, that just alone, you know, it just adds to that reward. Well, Michelle, it's been such a pleasure, and thank you so much for taking
thank
the time amidst all the craziness, you know, being in a satellite office and still taking time to do the podcast. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing.
And have a great day.
You as well. Too. Thank you.
Bye.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.